In an age when textbooks are literally out of date the day they are printed, the idea of online schooling is being accepted more and more. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with an online education professional who is pushing knowledge at scale across the internet, anywhere in the country. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. The internet enables mobility, flexibility, and customizable solutions to almost any aspect of enterprise. And education is an enterprise not untouched by online capabilities. When it comes to education, all parents want to make sure their children are getting the best one possible. Despite the growth of charter schools, options for parents really remain public, private, or homeschool. Online schooling, however, can be not only tied to the public school curriculum required in any state, sticking to the rigor of benchmarks and testing goals, but online schooling can also help families with students who want to move more quickly, move more slowly, avoid bullying, or fit into a hectic schedule, possibly for athletic training or extracurricular activities.
It is basically proprietary, developed software here at Pearson, which includes everything from a student's schedule to their gradebook to their courses to chat features to email features. There's obviously a webcam where they can use to communicate with their teachers and their classmates.
Most online students at the elementary and secondary levels still attend a brick-and-mortar institution on a full-time basis and simply enroll in one or more online courses. Now, that said, the volume of online students is definitely growing. According to the National Education Policy Center, from 2015 to 2016, 528 full-time virtual schools enrolled 279,000 students. All right, here we go.
Amar Kumar. I work for Pearson Online and Blended Learning, and I'm the SVP of Product and Portfolio Management.
We're going to get into the definition of blended learning and what you're doing right now, but why don't you bring us up to speed as to how you got here?
Sure. So I started off my career as a software programmer where I was developing algorithms and visualizations for scientists in the healthcare field in pharmaceuticals. From there, I realized my passion was actually in education, so I went to go teach. I became a school principal, which led me to become a much more full-time focused on education. I became a consultant within education, and all of those things kind of eventually led me to Pearson, where I started to focus on improving the learner outcomes of all of our digital products across our entire portfolio. That role got me introduced to Pearson's higher ed products, K-12 products, English language products, and where I really was passionate is kind of going back to my school teacher and principal roots is looking at our Pearson Online and Blended Learning portfolio, which is virtual schools for K-12 students. Okay. So that's kind of how I got here and the background that brought me here.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Let's unpack the online Pearson Online and Blended Learning research that you've done recently. First of all, who are the students you're targeting for this product, K-12?
What we think about this product, this virtual schools for K-12 students, we are really effectively serving students and families who need more flexibility or more personalization in their academic life. So we have students who want to accelerate, right? So they're bored in their traditional classroom and they want to be able to move a lot faster. On the other end of the spectrum, we have students who want to move a little bit slower because they might be struggling with a few subjects or a grade. We have students who have health challenges or are being bullied in school, so they want to come out of that traditional brick and mortar experience and go to school online. And we also have students with really aggressive extracurricular or athletic activities. We have Olympic athletes who are training for the next Olympics, and so they need a ton of flexibility on when they go to school, where they go to school. So as you can see, there's no one typical student, but a common thread is that they all need that personalization and that flexibility in their academics.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, how does that plug into the education system overall?
We are public schools that happen to be online. So we use technology to bring the public school to the student at home. So our students are, they have state certified teachers that are public school teachers. We have a state aligned curriculum that is the same curriculum as everyone else in the school will be in the traditional brick and mortar schools will be studying. They have clubs, they have activities, they have field trips, just like any other student in a public school might. But they get to do it all online. They can do it from home with the support of a parent or adult, which we call a learning coach at home. So unlike those traditional schools, they can just do this wherever and whenever they want at the pace they want. And then our curriculum kind of flexes to be to their needs. So it can move faster, it can move slower based on what that student individually needs.
And of course, you mentioned it was like a public school, a virtual public school, which means that the quarterly testings and the statewide testings and things like that all happen online?
They're all the same. So the state testing is in person. So most states require that state testing is done in person. So we organize, you know, those days when that happens in a state. So that's probably one of the more interesting parts is getting all these students from across the state to a couple of locations for them to do the testing. But our students who appreciate that flexibility are willing to do that.
What is the technology behind this? Are you using webcams? How does the hardware look? Well, actually, the hardware and the software,
You know, you can imagine as a student, so you're a high school sophomore, you wake up in the morning, you head over to your laptop, boot up your laptop, and then you log on to our software. It's called Pearson Kinexus, and it is basically proprietary, you know, developed software here at Pearson, which includes everything from a student's schedule to their gradebook to their courses to chat features to email features. There's obviously a webcam where they can use to communicate with their teachers and their classmates. A lot of our students also use phones, right, just to speak to their teachers if they don't want to use the webcam. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, just like any business environment, it's kind of getting students ready for the world of virtual work in kind of as a side effect as well. So it's, you know, all the hardware that you would imagine. And then the software is all done, built by Pearson or integrated with some third parties. We develop all of our courses in-house or we license them from some pretty well-known course developers. Mm-hmm. So they're all geared to be totally aligned to any one state's curriculum.
We're speaking with Amar Kumar. He's Senior Vice President of Pearson Online and Blended Learning. He's also a former principal and a teacher and a software engineer. Amar, do you rub up against like the in-classroom software tools that are, say, distributed by Google and things like that? Do you find it, or is that not a competition or is that not a challenge for Pearson?
Yeah, it's not really a competition. In fact, we use many of those tools to supplement our own offering and to make the student experience or the teacher experience a lot better. Mm. You're talking about Google Classroom. There are other tools that help teachers keep in touch with students, help parents know how a student is doing. So where possible, we will integrate those tools to improve the experience in our platform. We absolutely don't compete with those.
Amar, do you have any proof of concepts? Do you have any data that we could put behind some of these successful students?
Absolutely. So I'm glad you asked. This is one of the most important questions for us because we serve more than 70,000 students across the country in 28 different states. And ensuring that our students are successful is a core part of our mission. And many parents will even ask us, hey, how do you compare to my school down the block? And I'm excited to share that we've just completed some research that answers that very question. And what we've learned is that students at Connections Academy schools perform just as well as students at bricks and mortar schools in all the academic subjects we studied who are serving those same types of students. On top of that, our students also get the benefits of that personalization and that flexibility that I was talking about earlier. So this is a really important finding for us because families and students who are looking for a high-quality, online, flexible option, you know, this school might just be the right thing for them.
That's true. If it is, let's talk about the fee structure. How do you guys make money?
So parents don't pay anything. It's a public school. So effectively, when parents choose to send their child to our school, the dollars from the state will just flow to our school in order to serve that child. So parents don't have any fees in this. Their participation in our school includes the laptop, the headset, the webcam, everything else they're going to need. So there's no out-of-pocket cost. Field trips, everything else is included. So it truly is like a public school where it is free public education.
Fantastic. I do know that when my daughter goes to school, if she's not there for morning roll call, there's some kind of effect it has on the funding because I guess they track the morning roll call to see how many students are there and how much money goes per student. Do you guys have to do the same thing with logins at certain times?
We have something called a count day, which I think the state mandates to ensure that we have the right numbers of students. So we have to make sure students are engaged, students are participating, they're on track, you know, things we would do anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of what the states use to track funding. Each state is unique and each state has their own requirements. So our schools track all the different states' requirements and make sure that we're accurately reporting and accurately serving our students.
Well, this has been an education, if you will, Amar. I did not know about the efficacy of this and the dynamic approach that really this has. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
That was Amar Kumar. He's a former principal and teacher who is now a leader at Pearson Online and Blended Learning's research. He's also a software engineer. Online schooling is meeting the needs of would-be marginalized students, but it's also appealing to families where the entire home dynamic may be in flux. For links to Pearson Online, as well as other online educational resources, please check the show notes article for this week. It's, of course, online at KGORadio.com. And you can follow us on the socials at Facebook.com/TechonomicsRadio, or I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGOJason. Coming up after this break, we check in on the Veterans Affairs Administration and its efforts to move its backlog of people appealing treatment from years to days.
The current process is very frustrating for veterans. We admit that the process is broken. It has been built over decades in the law that we have for appeals.
Modernizing the VA is next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.